Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
About $28 billion were stolen last year from seniors through all kinds of fraud, but 90% of it was family.
Inez Russell, founder of Friends for Life, was a guest on episode 2 of this show. We're replaying that conversation to highlight the National Volunteer Caregivers Network Conference at the AC Hotel, June 11th through the 13th. The mission of this conference is to support the members of the national network and create new, sustainable, interfaith volunteer caregiving programs. Those wanting to attend or sponsor the conference can call Inez at Friends for Life, 254-772-8100, extension 106. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors. Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality. Smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets are available for delivery when you are ready. Call 254-744-0938 and visit the website qualitycabinetstx.com. Comic Fest Waco. Syntax Teen Book Fest and Comic Fest Waco join forces Saturday, February 28th in support of literacy. Over 20 young adult authors come to ignite the imaginations of teen readers. There will be author panels sharing their insights and stories, offering a glimpse into their creative worlds. Experience a day filled with literary magic. Learn more online at litwaco.org. Presentgifting.com. Imagine never forgetting an event for those important people in your lives. Because relationships are important and moments matter, Present Gifting is a free service to send you gentle reminders of birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, and more. Register today at presentgifting.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend JB James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army and his team at Hot TV, amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Military Creator Con, April 16th to 18th in Arlington. Military Creator Con is a movement that unites military-connected visionaries across art, media, and entrepreneurship. A multi-day forum where service members, veterans, families, and supporters discover new tools, share expertise, and celebrate their collective creativity. Register today and use the code SCOTT10 to receive a discount at militarycreatorcon.com.
All right, here we are. We are on site at Friends for Life with Inez Russell, and this is the Waco Experience, an American Story. Friends for Life provides support systems and services for seniors and those with disabilities, but we're going to learn more because we are talking to the executive director, the founder, Inez Russell. Welcome to the show, Inez.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get into the first part of it, and really, let's talk about what is Friends for Life?
Okay, well, we are a nonprofit that serves seniors and people with disabilities, and we're basically trying to make sure they live the very best lives they can live, and that they're as independent as they can safely be. Because we are doing that, we've discovered that there are a lot of different areas that we need to help that can empower them to be more independent and to have great lives. So we serve as legal guardian to people who aren't able to make decisions for themselves and don't have family to do that for them. And we just signed a contract to expand our area, so we'll be in over 80 counties now, several different parts of Texas. We have a money management program where we're paying bills for people that aren't able to do that for themselves. And sometimes when you have somebody that can pay the bills for you, you can stay independent. You don't need a guardian. You can make sure that you have a roof over your head and food and clothing and all your necessities, and your bills get paid, and sometimes that's all people need. Now, we also have programs that help people live independently, where we do minor household repairs, we take people to the doctor, we deliver food to people that aren't able to go grocery shopping for themselves or maybe can't afford groceries. We're helping them access the benefits of the food bank without being, you know, when they're not able to drive there themselves. We have a telephone reassurance program where we call and check on people and make sure that they're doing okay. And I think that's critically important because it builds bridges between us and them. And it gives them somebody they can call if they have a problem. That need can be met. So we do care coordination when we find out somebody has a need. We first look to see if it's something that we're doing. And if it is, great. But if not, then we find another agency that provides that. And that's kind of opposite of what we did in the beginning. In the beginning, we just first looked for anybody else that might be doing it and connect them with that. But over the years, we've learned who does what, and we're able to know when we first hear about a need, if this is something that we can do, and if it's something that one of our partner agencies is going to need to help with. We also operate an adult daycare center where we take care of people during the day who can't stay home alone and just try to make sure they have a great time, but also that they've got nutritious food to eat while they're here, nursing care, opportunities to interact socially with each other and with people who come to visit our facility, with lots of folks that come to entertain, but also people that come and help with chair yoga or chair volleyball or, you know, just different activities that help them to be physically fit and also have these great opportunities for interaction. We have another program where we go into nursing homes and we teach people who have developmental or intellectual disabilities how to be as independent as they can be. And some of those folks have moved out of the nursing home and back into the community. And that's an awesome thing to see, especially when you're looking at someone who might be in their early 20s and could spend 60 years or more in a nursing home. It's really great to know that they can be independent, or more independent. They can get into a more fun and fitting environment for them.
My wife's uncle had brain damage due to epilepsy. He would be one of the perfect people to be helped here, to be independent as much as possible. One of those things, finances was something that he was not able to care for. Fortunately, we had family that would be able to step in, make sure that he was getting the money that he was deserved, and that the right amounts of bills were being paid and nobody was taking advantage of them. And I just think this is one of the things that I see as a big risk for people today, because there are a lot of bad guys out there and they do bad things, but the technology is better. Can we talk a little bit about some of those ways that you help protect people and their finances and other aspects of their life?
Sure. About $28 billion were stolen last year from seniors through all kinds of fraud, but 90% of it was family. And that's just mind-boggling to me, because I have an amazing family and people that love each other and take care of each other, but the people that Friends for Life serves are usually people who don't have any family, or the families have either hurt them or taken advantage of them. And there are things that we can do to protect them. It's a little harder when the people are living in the community than it is if they're in a more protected environment. But the more independent they are, typically the more happy they are. So mm-hmm. we want them to be able to be as independent as they possibly can be. Most of the people that come into our money management program have been taken advantage of. The perpetrators have a tendency to disappear if somebody else starts managing the money and they don't have access to it anymore. So that's one thing that can be helpful to them. Sometimes people are taken advantage of because they just don't know. One spouse has paid all the bills. And when that spouse passes away, the remaining spouse may not know how to reconcile a bank statement, how to balance checkbook, how to pay bills. And if we can show them how, then they can be a little more astute about what they're doing and understand, you know, they can learn about budgets and understand that they can give this money to somebody else. One of the things that we've learned over the years is that isolation and loneliness are a big factor with regard to whether somebody becomes a victim of fraud. Mm. We had one client that bought siding for her brick home 3 times because she didn't want the man to hang up. And we've had clients who have gone to the bank and gotten huge amounts of cash to mail to somebody that they thought was going to be their friend. This person promised that they would do all kinds of things for them, and they become victims when they're vulnerable because they so much want a friend. They want somebody that will care about them. So if we can come in and find a friend for them, either a phone friend with our telephone reassurance program or somebody in for our adopt-a-grandparent program, but somebody that they can develop a relationship with, and that can make all the difference.
Friends for life. So that makes sense the way you named that. And billions stolen and mostly by family members. From what I understand, I mean, that's theft. It is theft. And if it had been through identity theft or outright wire fraud or something like that, prosecution would be pretty easy. But from what I understand, it's more difficult to follow up on those types of thefts when it's family, mm-hmm. especially.
It is. Often our senior will not press charges against a family member. And I think there's always the, oh, mom said I could have this. And it just becomes more difficult. But the laws are getting more strict. District Attorney's Office and the Sheriff's Department are more likely to get involved than they used to be. And I'm glad to see this. Friends for Life is sponsoring a series at MCC this fall. It's called Prevention to Prosecution, and it's all about fraud and how we can be, by being more aware, we can help reduce the incident of fraud against seniors and people with disabilities. Both of them are taken advantage of. And sometimes it is companies. You know, I've watched a program where they showed that there are some businesses that teach their employees how to take advantage of seniors.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, how is that possible?
But, yeah. Wow. Wow. As we've got into some of the, and this is an overview, and people can learn more at friendsforlife.org mm-hmm. and get details, and we'll talk more about that as we wind the program down. But right now, I want to talk about how you got started in this, because I was here, fortunate to be here, for the Open House 35-year yes. celebration. So, started back in 1989, and this is based on we'll let you tell the story, but I just want to say that Friends for Life has been recognized nationally, one of the top 16 nonprofit organizations, outstanding charities nationwide. That's the Hudson Institute and Fordham University. Friends for Life is one of the best practice models. Those are good awards, good acknowledgments of the work that you're doing. But let's go back to how did this all get started? Because 80 counties, and how many employees do you have now?
108.
108 employees and volunteers.
Lots of volunteers.
Yeah. And my wife is a recent volunteer, and it is right up her alley. She's able to take a person to an appointment and back again. And you mentioned isolation and loneliness. It was highlighted during the pandemic, but it's been ongoing for a long time.
It has, and it's not gotten much better since the pandemic. I hoped that things would kind of get to a good place with regard to our homebound, but it hasn't happened. Isolation and loneliness are still critical.
Started back in 1989.
Well, in fairness, I have to tell you that it started actually a long time before 1989. I spent a lot of time with my grandma when I was growing up, and my grandma was the one that took care of everybody. People in hospitals, nursing homes, shut-ins, she visited them all and did everything for them. So I grew up thinking everybody's got somebody. They either have a great big family like I have, or they have somebody like my grandma to take care of them. But in the spring of 1989, I was visiting my dad in the hospital, and I heard a woman screaming, and when she didn't stop screaming, I went to see what was wrong, and I found a lady who was close to 90. She grabbed my arm and said, "I'm dying, and I don't want to die alone. Please don't leave me."
Wow.
So I stayed, and she told me her whole life story. She'd been a college graduate, a librarian for 50 years. She had children and grandchildren, but nobody was coming to see her anymore. So she thought she must be dying. If she were going to live, people would still be coming. So I went and got my Bible, and I read the Bible to her, and I got her stuffed animal and got her flowers, but mostly I listened. And she decided I wouldn't be doing all that. If she were dying, she got well and went home. And then nurses said, "Oh, you've been visiting this one lady, and you didn't know her. There's another one in this room. Would you go check on her?" So I did, and kind of the same thing happened. And then they said, "There's another one in this room that doesn't have anybody." I thought, who's taking care of these people? If for whatever reason they're all alone, who takes care of them? And I talked to people that I knew in other parts of Texas, other parts of the country, trying to find something we could bring to Waco that would provide a support system for seniors and people with disabilities. And when I couldn't find anything, I started Friends for Life. And I was pretty reluctant. I wanted God to give me the name of a person I could go sell the whole concept to, because I thought, good idea, but I'm not the good one to do it. But he wouldn't give me a name. So instead, he kept showing me cases of abuse, neglect, exploitation of seniors and people with disabilities. So in September of 1989, I started Friends for Life in a little tiny office about 10 feet by 10 feet with no money, no furniture, no computers, no people, no anything. And God has just grown it into, I mean, this building's 26,000 square feet. We have offices in Abilene, Corpus, Texas City, Tyler, San Antonio, and we're opening an office in Beaumont as we speak. And he's just blessed us with the opportunity to serve lots of people in some great ways. So.
This is just amazing. And this show is the Waco Experience in American Story. In America, we are very independent. And we mentioned that earlier, right? Trying to help people remain independent, which is in our character of who we are and who we want to be. And you're able to continue that. We're also very innovative and entrepreneurial. When we see something that doesn't exist, we go out and create it. And many cases, we find that is a for-profit business. But this one was nonprofit. God said, "Inez, you're the one. And you're going to bring this forward." But now you've got 108 employees, lots of volunteers, offices. You're in over a third of Texas, or around a third of Texas. That's a lot of real estate to take care of. So I love this origin story. Let's talk about the future now, because that's where we're all headed. Okay. We love to look back. That's fun. But let's go forward.
Okay.
What's coming up?
Well, right now we are looking at providing housing for seniors and people with disabilities. We have had a horrible time these last few years trying to find places, safe places for our clients to live. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And even though they're building, it's not happening fast enough the demand's growing faster than the places for them to live. And we found a great company to partner with on this, and we're working with the Housing Authority, and we will build a complex for adults with disabilities and one for seniors and provide the support services that we've been providing for about 35 years now to make sure, because seniors and people with disabilities need a little help to live independently.
Mm-hmm.
But with that help, they may be able to live independently for the rest of their lives. So we provide all the services that they need in order to be able to be independent. So that's what we're going to do. And we found a piece of property, and we're going to take onto that property, not just these two housing complexes, but also the services that we need to make sure that they can live safely and mm-hmm. on their own.
And where is that located? Announce that?
Yes, we can. It's going to be on Lakeshore Drive. And if all goes well with our contract, it'll be right by MCC on the corner of College Drive and Lakeshore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And how many residents do you expect to be able to serve? And when is it going to open up? And can people put reservations in?
Well, I suspect that it will open with a waiting list. We'll build for about 112 adults with disabilities and 150 seniors. If we can learn how to do this with this project, these two projects, then we can build more housing. And that's what we hope to do in the future, is be able to provide more safe places for them to live. Mm-hmm.
So I like that this concept is not, this is the one that we're going to do and put our name on, that you're using this as a learning experience to be able to replicate it in other communities.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of need everywhere we are, there's need for this. Safe housing.
That's right.
In those services.
Yeah, and especially the services, because, you know, if you could find an apartment for them, it's probably not going to have the services that they need. If they're food insecure, it's not necessarily going to deliver food to their door. If they need a ride to the doctor, it's not likely that it's going to provide transportation to the doctor. So all of these services that we've been providing for so many years can wrap around the housing and make sure that they live safely.
Oh, this is a great vision. Let's talk about some of the other things that are coming up. There's some immediate things that people can do to get involved in. I want to let people have opportunities to participate with Friends for Life.
Okay, well, we are in our countdown to Christmas and gathering gifts for probably be about 3,000 people this year that we try to remember. You know, most of the people that we work with don't have family. A few do, but most do not. So if we don't remember them at Christmas and on their birthdays, nobody does. Mm. So we try really hard to do that. And we're blessed with lots of folks in the community that donate gifts. And we even have a little list on Amazon now. People can go there and order some of the things our clients like, and they'll send them to us here. But now that we are in so many different counties in Texas, it gets more and more interesting to try to reach out to all of them and help them know that somebody cares about them. But we are given gifts, and we package them, and then we have volunteers that deliver them. And it's pretty fun to be able to deliver these gifts. We also have a program called Friends for Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving morning, volunteers will come to Friends for Life, and they will get the food ready. A lot of it's done in advance, and all of the food is donated. Mm-hmm. But they package the food, and then volunteers deliver it. And last year, I think it was close to 800 meals that we delivered Thanksgiving morning, and everybody's home to celebrate Thanksgiving with their families by 10 or 10:30. So it can be part of your Thanksgiving tradition mm-hmm. and not really interfere with your Thanksgiving dinner. So a lot of people have made it part of that.
Delivering gifts mm-hmm. on Christmas and birthdays, mm-hmm. delivering meals. My mother owned a flower shop, and for a while I did deliveries for her is one of the things. Absolute best job ever, right? Yeah. Giving flowers to somebody that they didn't expect, they don't have to pay for, they're happy they received them. What a joy. I think that this is even better, that people can deliver something that's going to bring joy and enhance that independence and break isolation. Isolation is such a killer. If people want to get involved and buy these gifts, can they go to the website? Is there mm-hmm. a link? They can donate. They can find the link to Amazon.
Mm-hmm. They can go to our website, friendsforlife.org. They could call us, and we are thrilled to have them come by. They can be part of what we're doing. If we have packaging days, the first two Saturdays in December, we play Christmas music and everybody wraps packages and helps us package things up so that we can deliver them. Because we have so many clients in other parts of the state, every 4 months we bring all our staff in from all our other offices. And this year they'll come in on the third week of December, of January. Let me try again. November.
All right.
They'll third be week, here yeah. the week before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we'll send back with them the gifts for all the people that they can deliver to in other parts of the state. So some of what we do has to be done pretty far in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of it, we've pretty much got up until Christmas to deliver here. And I mean, I can remember one year I was getting ready to leave Christmas Eve, and there were gifts all over our lobby, the floor of our lobby. And I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, but I remembered a Baylor student who said, Inez, I can't go home for the holidays. If you need anything, would you call me? So I called him, and he pulled up in the tiniest little sports car I've ever seen in my life, but he managed to get all those gifts in there. I have no idea how he did it. And later he called me that night, and he said, the best Christmas I ever had. He said, I prayed with every one of them. He said, absolutely my best Christmas. Delivered all those gifts.
That is a great place to end, Inez. I have had so much fun talking with you today about Friends for Life. Everyone can learn more at friendsforlife.org. Thank you for letting me come here in your office.
Well, thank you for coming.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.